We saw you last Saturday at Kyle Field watching the football game. He had Bortz with you up in the press box, huh?
Yes, he was bumming around looking for a ticket, and so we took pity on him and offered him a chance to come up, and just had a great conversation with him.
Well, that's good. Glad to hear that. I want to talk for a minute today about Occupy Wall Street. As we've talked about here on the show, clarity of message is one of their problems because there's so many people who have different messages in Occupy Wall Street, and dare I say, there's certainly some things out there that can resonate with people. And you made comments this earlier this week that basically have been quoted coast to coast talking about income inequity, and you're saying it starts right there in D.C.
Well, it does, and unfortunately, they didn't put the full text of what I said, but what I said is that we have huge income inequity today, because we've got 47 million people on food stamps. We've got more people in poverty than we've ever had before. And it all goes right back to what happens here in Washington. As we've, when I say we, when Washington started in January of 2007 to inject all this uncertainty into the private sector. So you've had millions of people lose their jobs, and you've had their income slashed. You've had their health care coverage fall apart. And it's all because Washington thinks it knows how to distribute income and control our lives better than the way that the private sector does on Main Street. And what we've been trying to do for the last 10 months is try to get Washington out of the way and put Main Street back in front so we can put everybody back to work.
You know, I know that there have been items that have passed out of the House, and they get no tread at all in the Senate. You could start just with budget bills that have passed in the House that haven't gone on to the Senate and passed. And I guess this is continuing to be a problem for you.
It is. We passed at least 25 really good pieces of legislation that I call Main Street job bills. It's where you put the private sector in a position where they have less uncertainty, and where so that they feel comfortable to invest in people and in plant and property and equipment. And unfortunately, about 18 of these bills, which are really good bills, have gone over the Senate, and Harry Reid throws them in the trash can.
Well,
it's terribly disappointing to us, but we're not giving up.
Well, I can't believe that they're so myopic they don't understand the problem. So I understand there's some politics involved here, but I at some point I have to hear Republican leadership standing up and saying that that America is stymied, and as you say, there's no confidence in the private sector right now.
Well, actually, we stand up. We have several press conferences a week. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but I've got several videos out there where we talk about Main Street jobs. Let me give you a perfect example of what happens here in Washington. We had a press conference about 3 months ago, and you had the leadership of the House, along with five job creators, people that have real-world experience signing the front side of paychecks, and I was one of those people that was part of that press conference. So leadership talked, and then each of the five individuals talked, and I was the last one, and then Speaker Boehner came up at the end and asked the audience, the reporters, for questions. And what did they ask? Did they ask about jobs? No. They asked about Anthony Weiner. And so that shows you we're having a tough time getting our message out, and so that's the reason I try to talk as much at home as I can so that people know what we're actually doing, because the mainstream media is not going to get the message out there for us.
Bill Floor is joining us from D.C. this morning. The clock ticking again before the end of this month. The government runs out of money. The super committee is starting to talk. We're starting to maybe kind of see behind the curtain a little bit, and I see this morning that Social Security, in fact, may be on the table. What do you hear?
Well, I don't have any specifics, but I think most Americans know that Social Security is bankrupt, that Medicare is bankrupt, and those two programs, along with Medicaid, are going to destroy the fiscal future of this country if we don't get them fixed. Now, there's a way to fix them where you protect today's retirees as well as those that are close to retirement, but you also protect it for future generations. And in the House budget that we passed back in April, we had a plan that protected it for all generations for at least 75 years. And again, it was done without hurting today's retirees. And I'm glad to hear that that's on the Select Committee's agenda, because that's something where we could really make some headway to reduce the deficit.
I'd like to get your comments. Of course, Solyndra made a lot of headlines because that was a ton of money that the government gave them. There have been some other bad stories in the world of energy, not quite to that number. If I think $43 billion for the loan company, was it Beacon, that is in financial trouble?
That's correct. It's actually $43 million.
Yeah.
But still, that's $43 million valuable taxpayer dollars, and that company filed for bankruptcy in the last few days. That, you know, it just shows you that, and I've complained about these federal loan guarantee programs for years because I've seen firsthand that a bureaucrat doesn't act properly in a fiduciary responsibility with taxpayer dollars the same way that a bank would or an investor. And so these programs need to be shut down. There's another one, the Advanced Technology Vehicle Manufacturing Program, that gave several hundred million dollars to a company called Fisker that produces an electric car called the Karma. Now, that was supposed to help create hundreds of American jobs. Where are those cars being manufactured? Finland. And so as part of the UCUT program, this was one of the options that I put up for the UCUT program, and the American people voted to kill that program. And we're going to drop that legislation today to shut that program down so that we don't have, you know, we stop the waste of precious taxpayer dollars.
Certainly. Maybe I'd give you an opportunity now to flesh out your thoughts. I think that it just broken last week, the president's plan as far as student loans and possible forgiveness of that down the road. Obviously, with major institutions in your congressional district, what's your thought of the government staying in and in the loan business for college students and then possibly forgiving the loans down the road?
Well, it doesn't reflect a proper fiduciary level of care for valuable taxpayer dollars. You know, as part of Obamacare, the government came in and took over the student loan program and said that that was going to save dollars and generate dollars for the federal government in order to pay for Obamacare. The math was pretty fuzzy when they did that, and now to the extent that they thought they were going to pay for Obamacare because through government takeover of this loan program, now they're essentially giving it all away by changing the terms of these student loans. Look, I would just assume that all Americans have the opportunity for post-high school education, whether it's technical school or community college or, you know, undergrad, a four-year program or even post-graduate programs. But these can be done in a way, I mean, the proper way to encourage that is not through a student loan program where you turn around and write off student loans. We can do it by controlling the cost of education on the front end, and then by having the private sector be involved in the student loan program on the back end.
Anything else on the radar screen between now and the next time we talk that we haven't already discussed?
Well, the next 2 months are going to be really busy. The Senate has just now working on its first appropriations bill. We passed about half of the appropriations, the normal appropriations bills in the House. Now we're going to come to conference and start working these things out because the government's only funded through November the 19th. November the 18th, and plus we've got all the work that's going to be reported out of the Select Committee that's coming up. So instead of adjourning on December the 8th, as currently scheduled, I suspect we'll be here till Christmas Eve, and it's going to be a very busy 2 months, and I suspect there's going to be a lot of political gunfights between the two parties as we go forward.
All right, and we'll be talking to you. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Bill.
Thank you, Scott, and ask our listeners to pray for our country and our military men and women.
Will do.